Good morning, Mel. Welcome back. How are you?
Morning. Yeah, I'm in one piece.
Marvelous. Have you been traveling a little? We've been out of touch for a few weeks.
Yeah, it's been a combination of things really. Hospital appointments and so on, which have
How's
just
Carlos doing? Is he
been
okay?
no, the cancer spread.
Oh my God, man.
So he's on chemo at the moment, but it's not curable.
Hell spells. Well, may the mojo be with him and with you both. And thank you for
Thank you.
your Well, it's been a seismic old week, hasn't it? I suppose emotively, I dare say your thoughts might also be with the bereaved in Manchester at the synagogue.
Yes, of course. I mean, it's just horrendous. It's the latest incident in a growing wave of anti-Semitism that really just feels like there's no doubt people are being killed simply because they are Jews. And this is, Palestine. The Palestine situation is horrendous, and I hope that the latest Trump plan might be able to move towards something that will reduce that. But that's no, we would never justify murdering Muslims because of the atrocities being carried out by the Iranian regimes or by the Taliban. Of course we wouldn't. We'd be horrified, and we should be, as a society, equally horrified that this is happening to the Jewish community. And the fact that the hate marches continued yesterday, and that there was what looked like a celebration of it at a number of railway stations, which seemed to be the latest target for the Palestinian pro-Palestinian movement. It's just sick. You'd have hoped that just for one day they might be prepared to suspend that to note the this, but it's a deliberate program on many parts to throw as much fear as possible into the Jewish community in the UK simply for being Jewish. And
Is
I
it
don't know where
possible?
we go from here.
Is it possible to draw a distinction amidst the high drama emotion of these things, between political violence and the right to protest?
Well, yes, and it's always a difficult line in a democracy to where you draw the line between free expression and hate speech. I think the problem is that it seems to be so inconsistent. There was a plenty of videos of people calling for global jihad, and what global jihad means is that Manchester happens all over the place. Global jihad very clearly means killing as many Jews as possible. That's regarded as being quite acceptable in terms of speech. Cars full of people driving through North London shouting out, "Murder all Jews, rape their women," is not regarded as an offence. And yet, there is an investigation going on at the moment into a really very striking piece of artwork on the on one of the beaches. I can't remember where it is. Post Labour conference, which is just the words 1984, but the eight is a portrait of Keir Starmer, and apparently that is now being investigated as being hate speech or whatever the written equivalent of hate speech is. It just seems to be that if you hold views that are acceptable with an element of the establishment, then you're fine, but if you challenge the establishment, then you're going to get yourself into trouble. There's another arrest today for someone who's just preaching the Christian gospel, and they've been arrested for causing distress to people locally. And yet, we don't see any of those restrictions applied to the overt anti-Semitism that we see in some of the hate marches. So it is genuinely a difficult question, and we're seeing it in the States as well, where the Trump regime is now really cracking down on anything that's critical of the Trump regime, while at the same time
Or particularly Trump himself, indeed.
campaigning for freedom of speech. So over there, it's almost the other
Actually,
way around.
it is Orwellian in a sense, isn't it? That our version of free speech is okay, yours isn't.
Yeah, well, the great irony is that for all things, to have produced a portrait of the Prime Minister in the context of 1984 and then to be arrested for it, nothing could be the irony is just beyond there, that the very fact you got arrested for it proves that the comment was justified in the first place. It's bizarre.
Isn't it? Well, we're in this performative era now, aren't we? Which has a grisly aspect, but at the same time, it's probably a useful moment to draw breath. And in terms of Starmer at the conference this week, do you think he's holding it together? I mean, there's been lots of calls that, not least the Burnhamite tendency, and of course the Corbynite one, for him to go.
I thought Starmer's conference speech was one of his best. And actually, my general impression was that the conference, within its own terms, went rather well. There wasn't much. I mean, Burnham, I understand, was very active. I'm sure Leonie will. Well, I don't know if Leonie will feel free to speak, but it would be very interesting to get her
On the
impressions of
way,
the
I
conference.
think, yeah. Yes, indeed, yeah.
But generally, I felt that within its own terms. I'm sure the one going in, the criteria for success were: we don't exacerbate any suggestion that there's a leadership problem. And I think they did that. I think the Starmer speech was good, and it was well received by conference. That they try to get their achievements, such as they are, more into the public domain. They certainly focused on that a great deal, and quite rightly so. Any political party in power should be doing that, and should be doing that more than I think Labour have, maybe. And to gloss over all of the problems that are actually fundamental, and in particular, what on earth they're going to do about the economy, which is the state that we're in at the moment, where
Well,
the
there's the
party.
rub, then, yeah, isn't it? Yes, and Reeves is sticking to her guns, and doesn't seem to have been much of a mention of the cost of living, notwithstanding the northern location.
No, I mean it's a the economy is feels to me in more or less the same sort of state it was in the mid-70s, if anyone can remember that, when
The
50
winter of
years ago.
discontent and all that, yeah.
Well, no, before that, though,
Before that, yeah.
when Dennis Healey as Chancellor had
Yeah.
to go to the International Monetary Fund for a bailout for the UK, because we were in this stagflation position, which we are more or less now, where inflation was increasing and it's doubled since Labour came into power, but the economy wasn't growing
That's an
significantly.
extraordinary fact, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and from that position, you end up with your public services costing more year on year, but no growing, no equivalently growing tax base from the growth of the economy. So it's actually a myth to say that there was much austerity in the coalition years, for example. If you look at public expenditure, it didn't come down, but the economy was had just started to limp into growth post the financial crisis, which meant that the government was able to bring down the deficit. It never actually eliminated it, so national debt was still growing. But at least the deficit, the amount of money we were losing each year, was brought down quite significantly in the years of the coalition. And you also get to a point where, with some of these taxes now, they've reached what they call the Laffer point, based on work by a guy called Laffer, who made the very obvious point, which is still missed by a lot of people, that you don't get twice as much tax revenue by doubling tax rates. Because it also affects people's behaviour that damps that, and there's a level of tax which maximises income, and if you go over that, the disincentive of the tax is worse than the increase in the rate, so you end up actually bringing in less money into the public coffers. And with things like national insurance, I suspect we're very close to that point at the moment. So Reeves is faced with a horrible position. She absolutely guaranteed to everyone that there would be no further tax increases during this parliament in her first budget as a justification for the big tax rises there. She and the government have signally failed to carry through cuts in public expenditure, which they had planned because they couldn't get it through their own party. There's very limited scope for actually raising taxes. So unless you cut public expenditure, and they say the government has proved incapable of doing that for fear of losing votes in the Commons despite this massive majority, then for a while we can continue to spend our children's money. We can continue to borrow hugely, but the international markets will get more and more worried about that as the more we get into debt, and the cost of borrowing therefore will increase, the interest rate we're paying. Before terribly long, those interest rates start to overwhelm the rest of your economy.
Yeah, and of course, I think Graham's just joining us. Leonie's on her way. But stagflation, of course, apparently is also in the wind in America, where a different form of strategy, if you could call it that, is being pursued. I'm also thinking about, I'm struggling for a phrase here, the somatics, really, of fiscal policy, and the food bank uses on the rise at the cost of everyday survival is ever increasing, and the government subsidies for various things that might make them affordable are very often invisible or marginal in terms of their impact. Rural public transport, for example, well, certainly the average breadbasket of the Vendilion these days is eye-watering. So the feel-good factor is elusive, to say the least, isn't it?
Yes, and that itself, yeah, those the way society feels about itself is often underestimated as being of how important that is to the subjective experience that people get. And Reagan in the States was always his extraordinary ability was to make America feel good about itself, and he has gone down, I think, historically as a great president, despite the things that were being said about him at the time. Because that kind of homespun humor that he had, and he was an extremely funny man. That homespun humor made people feel good about the country, and his second election was one of the biggest landslides in American history, with huge numbers of people who would normally be Democrats but voting for Reagan. They became known as the Reagan Democrats. Because of that sense of success, and we sort of had it a bit with Thatcher, in that the significant improvements in the economy towards the end of the Thatcher regime, before the Nigel Lawson boom of 1990, which ultimately was part of what brought it down. But there was a sense of satisfaction there. Blair certainly had it. Blair certainly was one of the great geniuses of making us all feel we were in a a comfortable
And we've sort of signed up to a movement, I mean, Cool Britannia, for want of a better phrase, that
exactly,
sort
and
of
made Britain feel good about itself after
thing.
the some of the failures during the John Major years. So that's important. I think Cameron had an element of it as well.
A PR man, of course, but yeah.
But we had it. We didn't have it from and Johnson as well. To be fair to him, was there was that sense in his early years in Number 10, and while he was Mayor of London, he had the ability to make Britain laugh.
More comebacks
But
than
in
Sinatra, you know.
yeah, but in his later time in the Premier, and then his successors, Truss and Sunak, never had that ability, and I don't think Starmer has it either, unfortunately.
So, is he imperiled without it? Graham, good morning. We're talking about the
Good morning.
optics of. Nice to have you back. We're talking about the optics of the Labour conference, how Starmer did. Obviously, events in the Middle East, and the Manchester synagogue attack. Where would you like to start?
Well, with the conference, I think he did. I listened to it, and it was inspiring in particularly when he took on racism. And I think, Malcolm's point of making people feel good, I think this can make people feel righteous,
Which
for
can be a
attacking.
dangerous commodity, can't it? An extremist.
Well,
That's
of course,
what you mean,
but
I guess.
I think he did it extremely well to make people feel that yes, that we are going to fight racism and have a united country and not be divided. By Farage. So I think that was very, I think he's found the point at which to beat Farage. His negativity about the country. And if he keeps going on, and if the clips are replayed, over and over again,
As they will be,
yeah. And Farage's response was very interesting.
I didn't catch that, but I'm going to just grip the table now and thank you for being that
Well,
soldier, Graham.
yeah, he accused Starmer of being racist against him.
Sorry.
And you know, he can dish it out, but he can't take
It's
it,
a, yes, yeah.
you
So free the
know.
Thanet one. Yep.
Yeah.
I think.
I think that he could have found it as long as he keeps on it and doesn't give up and keeps repeating the point, because that's apparently what you have to do, is to keep on and on until it gradually sinks in. It takes a very long time.
It's also a
But
narrative, isn't it? I mean, and the nuances of that narrative in response to changing events and what you can keep hammering away at, as you say.
well, of course, it extends to immigration,
Yeah.
not just
Not
racism.
half. Yes.
It's
Yeah.
racism against immigrants.
And, you know, illicit,
See,
in brackets, racism has been, immigration, I should say, has been on the rise, racism too, sadly, since Starmer's ascendancy. It's not something he's immediately able to take control of, but he does have a new Home Secretary who
well, I
spoke
think
quite.
that's where you got the cheer in the audience when they finally had him face up to the racism, and bring it out into the open. I mean, discrimination and racism is at the heart of all the problems, basically.
And systemic racism, which the police are often accused of, for example, and also, you know,
Exactly.
this what might some might regard as the cynicism with which the Home Office immigration procedures have been cut. I was on the bus literally after doing last week's conversation, Graham, that we had, and there were two gentlemen of a certain age singing the praises of Ben Habib, who apparently, in Advance UK, wants to accuse lots of people, including Starmer, of treason. In other words, being, you know, volubly unpatriotic.
Well,
And sent, you know, send them all to Rwanda as well.
that's the absurdity of Farage's complaint. It's the pot calling the kettle black, sort of thing.
It's quite obviously a game, really, isn't it? But I mean, there's a cynicism, you know, micrometers beneath the surface there.
Well, it also includes Farage running down and betting against the country, and making money out of the failure of Britain in financial terms, so that the people in finance would also get what he's talking about without him actually accusing him.
It's a sort of burlesque of the Thatcher share owning effect, isn't it? You know, bet against your own country.
Yeah, but you have to hand it to Starmer for the way he put it, because he found his, as someone said, he found his voice, and it just struck very true, I thought.
That is a moment, isn't it? You've often said, Mal, that nobody knows who Starmer is. You know, he's, as was
Yeah.
said of Major in the early days before he came, I suppose, to rather greater public estimation, the grey
But
man.
there's a general rule in politics: never accuse the opposition of being racist. And the reason for that is that very often those who are coming from where Reform are coming at the moment, for example, their broad stance, and Trump's was the same, was the political establishment hates you, and they will do all they can to do you down, oh great British people. And you absolutely play into the hands of that rhetoric when you start accusing, which is, it will always be taken this way. As soon as you start saying this party is racist, you start saying its supporters are racist. So the happiest man in England, the happiest man in Britain over that Starmer speech will be Nigel Farage. Because he is the one who will gain the most for this. And let's look at the actual and the similar the parallel was the Hillary Clinton talking about a basket of deplorables,
Oh, yes.
referring to potential Trump supporters in the run-up to the 2016 presidential election, which was absolutely milked by the Trump regime. And I doubt any single factor swung any election. But when an election is as close as that was, and let's remember, Clinton did actually win the popular vote there. It was that close to her winning the presidency. Then comments like that absolutely play into the hands of the opposition. And
Self-sabotage, it would seem. Yeah,
if
yeah.
we look at what's happened to the polls since that speech, Reform, which was actually beginning to drift down a bit after some very, very silly, serious mistakes, the most obvious being the one about permanent leave to remain, which put up the backs of an awful lot of many of us who are concerned about the rate of immigration would absolutely die in a ditch to protect the rights of those people who have permanent
And it
residence
could get
to
very
remain.
administratively messy, as I remember from my days with
Well, not
Hestia.
just that, it sends the it tips over into a thing which is about which starts to look nasty party type stuff very much so. And the reform had started to just drift down in the polls, still a long way ahead. Since the Starmer speech, Reform has put 4 percentage points on. Labour has lost 2 percentage points. And the if you look at yesterday's by-elections, coming from a standing start, Labour took a seat off. Reform took a seat off Labour in Wigan, that's Lisa Nandy's constituency, taking nearly half of the vote. They took a seat off the Conservatives in Chelmsford from a standing start, taking nearly half of the vote.
Did they
They
now?
took 3 seats in Maidstone Council, and they came very, very close to taking a rock solid Labour seat in Cheshire West and Chester. So as you look across, and they held a seat that they were defending with slight improvements in their vote as well. So almost a clean sweep of those by-elections yesterday, and in all except the case of on the Isle of Wight, where they already held the seat, coming from basically a standing start. Labour didn't even bother to put candidates up in Maidstone. The proof of the pudding in this is that Starmer, despite in the and I said at the beginning, in the terms of its own criteria, I think the Labour conference was successful, and this was Starmer's best speech that I've seen. But in terms of the actual effect on the voting public, there will be many people who either interpret for themselves or accept the argument that's saying, "Look, we told you that Labour would call you racist if you dared to stand up for your own communities." And look, he's just done it on the national stage, and it was I think, a massive mistake at the moment, which will really come back to bite Labour electorally.
How should he have done it then? Because this is a, you know, a Graham, please chime in on this. Would there be a way of doing that speech differently that would have avoided the sword of Damocles that Mal just mentioned there in his view?
Well, I think that's exactly what he did. And I think the loss of votes can be put down to the press reporting the speech. And that's a real
Well, the
disadvantage.
usual suspects.
Nobody listens to the speech. They just get clips of it. And they misreport it as Starmer calling him racist. Well, he didn't call him racist. He said his policies were racist. And
But
that was the
how do you square saying this person is not racist, but they have racist views, is what
that
you
that's
seem to be
exactly
saying?
that is exactly that
Is
is
that
exactly
what
the
you've just
G
said?
the problem is Matt, that sorry gentlemen, it's the ad hominem aspect which Trump, Farage, for example, and others will immediately rise to because they are the figureheads. They are there as I would say whipping boys. I mean, it's part of the deal if you're in a leadership position, but also they are there to be offended, as it were.
No, but that
That's
is
it.
exactly the success of the way he put it and why it struck home truly, and not oh dear, he's made a mistake. So he found a way of saying exactly what the situation is.
Yeah,
That
but that's rhetorically, yes,
it
but that's the that's
needs
an on greater reflection, isn't it? Not in the moment.
what exactly, and which it hasn't sunk in. So he has to keep on
Take
at
a
it
while.
and get it, because it's a subtle point.
What do you do for an encore?
And you don't get the subtle points across unless you repeat them over and over again. And there are several subtle points in his speech that had to be taken, after a bit of thought. Well,
Which
it may
we've got now the
be too
habit of
much.
doing, really, haven't we, in this country?
It may be asking people too much to think about things, but I think if he continues it, that's why you have to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it.
But with
But
the rise of,
he has actually found the formula for calling out racism against the party, the whole Reform Party, and he's found it a way that makes people feel good, as Malcolm was saying. And you have to listen to the speech, and the way he put it, and the response as to how it was received, to appreciate it. And that's what the press and the internet will try and wash out.
It has to be said, I mean, it's a sidebar here. Owen Jones comes to mind, but there were others who were barred from the conference because they were, I presume, deemed to be hecklers and agitators. We were talking before you arrived, Graham, about the ever more subtle distinction between political violence and free speech.
Well, I watched the Tommy Robinson and Elon
Oh,
Musk
good
speech.
God. Yes.
Well, no, I
Yep,
think
you are fearless, man. Yep.
we should listen to it, because the guy's
I think it
clearly
needs to be done.
he's mentally ill, right? So,
But
but
in a
you have to
performative
listen
way
to
that
it.
is socially acceptable.
But I mean, Elon
He,
Musk is more mentally ill
and,
than Tommy Robinson.
it's odd, given the reputation of the private ire of Hacksville, that Tommy Robinson claims to be a journalist. So why are you taking my recorder away and all that?
Yeah,
It's just beyond irony.
he didn't do a bad job. I mean, you can see why the crowd were behind him.
As a client journalist, yeah,
But
certainly.
I don't think you can ban him. I mean, you have to. It's the same as Farage. And I think that it's a good thing that his candidates have
It's
got
enough
elected.
rope, isn't it?
Yeah, because they're now going to go in and mess everything up. And people will be able to see that they can't do the job.
I was going to ask Mal about that. How are they doing in local government?
Yeah,
Reform
that's
Party.
exactly what happened with the National Front many years ago. Quite a few of them got into power, and they screwed things up. They were just totally incompetent. So I think that will happen with Farage's lot.
There'll be a mixture. There are some areas where they are learning very quickly that you can't go in and revolutionize everything. And they do have, the county councils that they won in the elections earlier this year. There is kind of a 4-year window for them to learn the job there. But it was always going to be the challenge for reform. But and it will be the challenge in spades if reform have a landslide win in the next general election, which is a long, long way away. But as the polls stand at the moment, they would wipe the board. And as local, real elections suggest, they would wipe the board. So there's a it has to be on the possibilities at the moment of having vast numbers of people who have no experience of being a councillor coming in at the same time. Typically in Wandsworth, we get a turnover of around a third of the council every election. We've got elections coming up in May. And that's a pretty comfortable thing, because it means you've got new blood coming in who are thinking like the general public before we all inevitably get a bit institutionalized once we've been councillors or MPs for a while. So we've got new blood coming in, new talent coming in, but you've also got a body of people who have the experience of how to make things happen at a local level, who understand the relationship with council office
People
and
like
what you
you,
can
yes.
and can't do. Yeah, and so it's a healthy position to be in, that balance between new blood coming in and experienced hands who can maybe offer a perspective and help to engage with the new intake. But if you have everybody new all at once, then you haven't got that
basic culture that understands local government, and things are bound to be fractious until they settle down. So, unsurprisingly, there have been a number of cases where reform candidates have either just simply walked away, having realised how difficult the job is, or who have got into unnecessary clashes with their officers and are trying to do things that actually is outside the legislation as it stands at the moment.
So,
So
in other words, the Walter Mitty effect of local government pretending it's national government and sweeping everything away.
there's that element, there's an element of that. There's not realizing, I say, ultimately not realizing what powers you have and haven't got in local government. But I think that unless the major parties do stop this, and you can't go out and say these path this particularly the irony what that on the Sunday Starmer is saying reform policy to limit permanent leave to remain is racist, and then on the Monday, the very next day, Labour proposes pretty much exactly the same policy when it says that the period of time to qualify for permanent leave to remain should be increased from 5 years to 10 years.
That's
I mean,
horrendous.
that is
5 years
almost
is bad
exact.
enough,
It's
logistically.
almost exactly the same policy, practically speaking, because if people, because for those people who are, making their way, contributing to our community positively, between 5 and 10 years here, they're going to have that same sense of disturbance. This is, and it's just bizarre, I think, at the end of the day, that there isn't somebody at Labour High Command who's keeping an eye on this, and in particular, as I say, strongly advising against this. It's a very, very subtle line that will be missed, and actually, I think it's missed because the line probably isn't there
Well, you end
between
up with a bunch
saying.
of displaced, sorry to interrupt you, of displaced, potentially aggrieved people. The conditions they're living in are not great. Their stipend, although it's well intentioned, is not great. But Mahmoud in her speech talked about people earning the right to live in this country. And I read that as empowerment, in other words, giving people English lessons and requiring, presumably, that they do something, perhaps at a voluntary pool, which currently they're not able to do.
That's the reform policy, I think, isn't it?
Oh, I beg your pardon. Okay. I said it
No, I
seems
say
a
no.
wafer between them, as
I
you
think
said.
it's the Labour policy as well, but I think it's the reform policy. In terms of actual policy, the what Labour came out with at the conference is as close as can be to what they were criticising reform for.
Which is
And
an
you hear
interesting politicking, isn't it?
the immediate response of the intellectual elite is, "Oh, the people are too stupid to understand this subtlety." Here, and that then just contributes further to the unique selling point of reform and
Has that
others.
been said, Mel? I know it often is. It's
It's
been
been
said in
said
this
in this.
context, has it?
It's been said in this broadcast. It's what Graham just said is, oh, people have fallen for. They're too stupid to see through what the media are saying on this, and
No, I'm
that's
saying they're
appalling.
not hearing it.
In the
They
short
don't get
term,
a
in the
chance.
short
They don't get
term,
a chance because it won't be presented to them. So
So
it's
why haven't
about
you fallen? So why haven't
misinformation. It's about misinformation.
Okay, so why haven't you fallen for it, Graham, then?
Well, because I'm informed about it.
Exactly,
I
because you're clever.
I
Because
think
you're
that
cleverer
the
than the hoi polloi.
well, I,
And
maybe there's
also,
more to. Yes, sorry, well, I think I
they
would.
don't listen. They haven't listened to the speech. They haven't listened to the
Well,
speech.
so you
The,
have, you see.
the, there,
And
there
that.
is a, I would say there is a problem, gentlemen, of what I think can some people like John Sweeney call client journalism in this country of late, and that's a problem specifically for the media and regulation, in my humble opinion. And I won't mention GB News, and I won't mention, I don't know, Navarra Media, various players who could usefully look at how they turn things in the current climate, in my
No,
perhaps.
I think the reason for the loss of votes is because of the identity card issue. I think
Also, yes.
if he carries on with the identity card, he's going to lose the election. I mean, the general election, because
Now,
that relates
nobody is speaking about identity cards.
to the
Because
change. This has been mooted for a while now by various administrations. Sorry, Graham, do carry on.
Well, the identity is symbolizes and encapsulates the whole problem with what's happening with the internet. You know, the internet, the moguls of the internet are taking over the planet, right?
In the sense that we
What
can be tracked more
the
efficiently. No, Oyster cards can do that to some extent.
Well, exactly.
So
I
can
mean,
loyalty cards and
so
retail.
he wants to package up everyone's information and sell it to Peter Thiel, to go off and build a separate society outside of a nation. I mean,
Really?
yeah,
Tell me
he's
about the
planning.
separate society, Graham. What's that? What does that look like to
They're
you?
now planning to build non-nations, just to find land and build a place where it's not a nation.
So
So
this is something
outside.
to do with the new towns policy. I mean, Crews Hill and the expansion of
Exactly.
Milton Keynes. I mean, you can
And
stand in parts of Milton Keynes that aren't what Clio and Johns from Abingdon and wonder where the dickens you are.
Musk is building a city around his factories.
Yes, he is, isn't he? I mean, nascently. That's a
Yeah.
very interesting point from an architectural planning point of view. We went somewhat down a rabbit hole there, Mal. What's your comment on where we're going with this?
I don't know. I mean, wasn't that exactly what Cadbury did with Bourneville in Germany, in Birmingham in the early Industrial Revolution? He built a city around his factory, and
A
indeed
charming city on the hill.
But not outside the nation.
But it still comes back to this the playing into the hands of Farage and Trump of this fundamental stance they have, which is the political establishment hates you. If you dare to have a different view from theirs, you'll tell them it's because they're ill-informed. There can't be any possibility that if they have a view that's different from that of the intellectual elite, then it might be that they're right and the intellectual elite are wrong. And that continual drip, drip, drip of superiority, I'm better informed, I know more than you do, I'm cleverer than you do, from the intellectual elite, is absolute music to Farage's ears, because
See,
that's
I
true.
don't think it's all coming from politicians, Mal. I hear you, and I agree with you. I think it's the scourge of the land because we're all having to have a bit of a think about this. And the more demotic we make that through institutions like the Open University, for example, well, certainly an invention, I think, of which we're both beneficiaries, I guess, the more we will potentially progress and just have a just pause for thought as we do here, so to speak.
Well, and I
Yeah.
think that's exactly why you have to listen to the speech, because he found the words and the language. He invented a new language to talk about racism, and it switched the whole thing around to a positive rather than a negative. And
Eventually,
that
potentially, or eventually, I guess.
what
The
operation was successful, but the patient died. Because
yes.
what you see, however clever this was, and however it appealed to the party faithful at the conference, if you look at the effect it seems to have had in the country, it certainly has
On in the
had
polls,
a positive effect. If you look at the polls and the actual elections that we had yesterday, Reform from standing start to taking not far short of half of the vote in a lot of these seats. And you can't say this was a brilliant speech that really put things well if the outcome of that speech is that Labour falls in the polls and Reform gets a boost. There's a common thing saying, when your enemy are making mistakes, don't interrupt. And
It's the art of war, isn't it? Lao Tzu, if I
Reform
remember
has
rightly.
been
Yes,
meant
yes,
to. Yeah,
yes.
exactly. Yes, yeah, it goes back to literally millennia. And the Reform have been making mistakes recently. They've been coming across in ways that many, the moderate Brits who are very, very worried about the sort of atmosphere which has led to these murders in
Andrea
Manchester.
Jenkins singing. She's no Moira Anderson, is she?
Well, they want something done about what's happening to the Jewish community in the country and the hate marches and things of that nature. And they don't see anything being done with that. They see this double standards in many areas. And that was the issue that Labour really needed to approach. You don't do that by making this impossibly difficultly subtle point of saying the way you behave is racist, the way Nigel Farage behaves is racist, but he's not racist. What does that mean? He has racist policies, but he is not racist. You can't make sense of that, because at the end of the day, the only way of telling a racist is by the way they behave and the policies that they that that's what racism actually means. It's a practical thing. It involves.
It's the business of fronting and fronting out what you're saying, isn't it? And Starmer is it's perhaps necessarily a fond of saying, as saying, we are between a rock and a hard place. We still have to make difficult choices. So, and you said yourself, Mal, his room for maneuver, and Reeves's room for maneuver, for example, in terms of the effect of some of this rhetoric, is very limited.
Oh well,
Yeah,
but
but I
it
think
can come down steep,
Malcolm,
can't
you
it?
may. I think you're missing the point. It's so subtle that you're getting the wrong subtlety. He's not saying putting them into confusion. That's what the speech didn't do. Because
No, I don't
the
think he
speech
confused
came
anybody. I think it
across.
was very clear that he was accusing reform and its supporters being racist. I don't think there
No,
was any confusion at all about that.
he wasn't accusing them of being racist. That's what the press have tried to say, but he wasn't. And the response showed that he wasn't, because the response cheered to the rooftops.
How diverse was the
They
cheer? Because, as I say,
found a way to make people feel good about being anti-racist. And that's
No.
always been the problem. People feel that to be anti-racist, you're being slightly hypocritical, because actually you are racist. And that's
And
what
all a
Jeremy
little
said.
bit,
He gave a way for people to feel really good about being anti-racist and to support other races, which don't exist, by the way, of course. But,
We're all Africans in that sense, yes. What Clyde just said,
well, the races don't exist. There are no races. I
Right,
mean, that's the
indeed.
genetic advance
It's like
of
John Lennon's in
time.
the room, but I know you've indirectly met him, so yes, very much so.
Well, he found out scientifically that races don't exist. So the whole thing is
Are you listening, Fanny East?
So when David Lammy says quite falsely that Nigel Farage toyed with the Hitler Youth when he was at school, although the Hitler Youth, of course, was
One of Hornby's less
disbanded in
successful model range.
it was disbanded in 1945, of course. But David Lammy very, very clearly said that Nigel Farage toyed with the Hitler Youth when he was at school. Are you
And that was
saying
a
that that
mistake.
was
That was
not
a mistake. That
saying that was
was
bad
exactly what
policy?
you're saying. That's exactly what you're
Is he
saying.
still at school, I
But
suppose, is the implication, is it?
that's your shadow justice secretary. Sorry, your justice secretary saying that, and no slap down from no saying no. We've said this is wrong. He's not a racist. Of course, the message underlying it is as obvious and as simple as could be, which is we're going to try and put this in a way that makes it look like we're not accusing them of being racist, but to get over the point that we think they're racist.
Can
And
I?
this
That, yeah,
it's
yeah.
already
You're getting far
backfired,
too
and it's
subtle
accused
there,
becoming.
Malcolm.
Can I throw a slight curveball here? Because it's Kemi Badenoch's turn next week, and people often say to me who are not happy with the state of the Tory party, well, why is she saying what she's saying, given her ethnic background? It's a bit of a conundrum people have. But whatever the rights and wrongs of that, she's entitled to her own position as a person. How is she going to, as Thatcher might say, play this next week? And what are her prospects, given the fact that the reforms seem to have eclipsed what the Tory party decided it stood for in recent years, at least in part?
Well, Theresa May has put her finger on it. She's gone against the net zero, which she's finished. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. Even though it's going to be popular with some people, it'll be undeniable the stupid thing to do.
You see, there are people sat in Edward Hopper bars with pictures of Churchill and Thatcher in the background who'll be applauding this volubly, much as the Labour conference applauded Starmer. But where, what? How does this play in practice?
Yeah, but in the end, people will find out about global warming and how bad it is, and how close it is, and how close we are to the point of no return. And
They're not having
that
people like you speaking there, are they? Whether,
no, of
this
course,
already devising.
we're being censored.
Now, there's the thing. Which it sounds strikes me as just a little unwise, given you as it were neglecting your roots as a political movement, are you not? I mean, Malcolm, what do you make of her prospects next week, and indeed the prospects for the Tory party in the current political moment and a bit beyond?
Right the way through my sort of adult life, there's been an assumption that the vote of both major parties will never drop below 30%. They've got 30% of absolutely reliable votes out there, and
Middle England, as it were, of its various
election bodies,
manifestations. Yeah.
And elections are decided by the other 40% of people changing their vote.
Right.
And at the moment, Labour on around 20 to 22% in the polls. Conservatives are somewhere between 15 and 20% in the polls. And this is completely and absolutely unprecedented. And I don't think anybody in the Tory party has the faintest idea to know what to do about it, because they have been used over the most successful political party in political history. 2 centuries, they've come and gone. They faced pretty much wipeouts in 1896. They were pretty much wiped out.
1896,
The landslide for the Liberals, which pretty much wiped out.
Yeah, Lloyd George,
in
the period,
1902. Before Lloyd George's time.
Oh, a bit before that,
They were pretty much wiped out. They're pretty much wiped out in Robert Peel's time in the split over the Corn Laws. They were pretty much wiped out in 1945. They were pretty much wiped out in 1997. And in each case, remarkably quickly, after Peel, it was a generation more or less before they really took back. But it wasn't very long. You know, after the Attlee landslide in 1945, the Tories were back in power in 1951.
Mm.
It took 13 years after the Blair landslide of 97, but they got there. And indeed, by 19, which gets only 6 years ago, that there was another Tory landslide.
It's leadership. Sorry to interrupt you. Is leadership the key to all this, or is it more about being more attentive to your grassroots or something?
I don't know what you can do. It's not. I mean, Budnock has been rather downbeat. The general point is saying you don't announce your detailed policies 4 or 5 years before a general election is a fair one, and no opposition.
There's a little button on the website, isn't there? What can we do? What should we do about this?
But I don't know. At the moment, the current position of the Tories is that they are irrelevant, and that is a much, much worse position to be in than being hated. If you're hated, people are noticing you, and there'll be some people who eventually say, well, maybe there's a bit of a problem here. The point of Tory parties is to be hard-nosed and a bit nasty and get the economy sorted, so then we get a Labour government for a while that will spend the benefits of that on public services and on people who are less well off, and on investing against climate change or whatever needs to be done. I'm not sure that Thatcher was ever warmly loved by the British people, and she certainly didn't set out to be warmly loved.
In a set of a masochistic way, possibly, yes, yeah.
Well, no, I don't think it was any of that. I think it was simply a recognition that she was sincere, that she was competent, and that she had a point in the broad case she was making.
That too,
Britain had gone in the 60s and 70s.
Mm.
And you can do all of that without being a hugely popular figure. I don't know what Kemi Badenoch will do. I suspect she'll probably come out with a rather good conference speech, and at the end of the day, people will say that was a good Conservative conference.
The human level, that would be in for the general balance of democracy. That would be welcome, wouldn't it?
Reform, and it goes back to, if you look at Reform's economic policies, they're actually pretty left-wing. There is huge commitments to public expenditure, while at the same time talking about taking, raising the thresholds on taxation, which is not all that different from the Liz Truss.
National socialism, some people might say, but
a reform, given that at the end of the day, I think through history, the real difference between Labour and Conservative has been about the economy. And it's been about, so left-right traditionally has been an economic statement. I'm not even sure that left-right works as a term anymore, as a distinction, but if it is, it has
people on the left have said that to me,
It's become much more about social and societal things. Now, right-wing doesn't mean you believe in sound public finances and controlling public expenditure. It means you are worried about immigration. Left wing doesn't mean you believe broadly in Keynesian economics and public expenditure as a way of dealing with recession. It means you want open immigration borders. And we need a right of centre party on the economy, because if everyone coming in consistently just wants to spend more and more public money and not to cut public expenditure, then very, very soon our economy will collapse to the extent that we're going to need external help. And at the moment, that's the real problem.
The Dennis
It's
Healy
that
moment,
the economic bit of being to the right of centre is only represented by the, really by this tiny 15%, 17% in the polls, conservatives, and that's the threat to the future of the and not and and of course, if your economy is not working, then your social thing can't work
Yeah,
either.
sort of, yeah, it's a busted flush, really, aren't you? Graham, would you concur with that analysis? Or?
Not really. I mean, I think the Liberal Democrats are more of a threat than
We talked about them in some detail last week, didn't we? But let's bring them into the ring.
yeah. I mean, they also seem to have found a way to communicate, falling off water boards and stuff. So
It's commute. Some people call it commuting, Graham, but anyway, yeah, that's beside the point.
well, and I think this is the whole point is about with information is first you have to have access to the information, but the way the information works is not always obvious, and that's the other thing about Starmer's speech. It's not exactly obvious how it worked, but it worked. And even though he lost the elections following, the method has been found. So as long as he sticks to it, then he can I think incorporate it into the party
It's a bell curve, if this is
approach
the
as an
thing.
approach to racism. And racism is the fundamental problem of the age. I mean, it comes into everything, and because of the global warming creating all the immigration.
Inequality.
And Putin trying to use immigration as a weapon and so on. It's the main problem. And how do you get away from racism? Because it's not about racism fundamentally.
It's
It's
the
about
yeah.
insecurity, and that
Yes,
includes
yes.
military insecurity. Being invaded by Russia. So. Of
On the
course,
greatest pretext,
we're insecure, and so we have to fight. And that's the other point, is that Trump is censoring global warming, and he's succeeding. No one can even mention it in the States,
Well, you get your funding card, don't you?
or you can't even mention it over Gaza, but
But you
it's
see
not.
steam out of the toupee for all too often, don't you? I mean, it's got to be the indicator of something.
Well, he's going to flip. I mean, everyone, I think
The
Starmer,
speech to the generals.
the other thing that Starmer has, he's found a way to deal with Trump, apparently, which seems to be working.
Trump whispering.
What? No, I think he's actually arguing his point with him and facing up to him in private. And simply winning the argument, and Trump comes out with things like, "Well, we don't disagree on anything, except one thing about Europe."
Which should be abolished forthwith.
So he's no, I think he has found a way to talk to him, because they're obviously communicating, and Trump is a supporter of Starmer. In a very curious way.
Yes, I presume
Like
he
he's.
chooses his friends carefully in perhaps a somewhat diminishing pool.
Well, it's completely random. I mean, the way he supported Syria, for example, he did he made a very good move by mistake almost.
Possibly
But
some of his best shots. As long
I
as there's
mean,
someone around to clear up after him.
I think. What's happening in America is affecting us. The way Musk is trying to undermine British society.
Davy says he should
One
be
thing,
arrested as soon as he arrives.
the one thing that Trump's peace plan in Gaza has done, has made the whole thing international on a very real, in a real sense.
Has
For
Trump
everything,
brought in Tony Blair, or has Tony Blair thrown his hat in the ring with his institute?
well, as the colonial master of the past, I mean, he should be involved, representing the
He
colonial
said with his
master.
tongue very slightly in his cheek there. Yes. Yeah.
But I mean, of course, he's made a lot of mistakes in the peace planning, and Rory Stewart and Alistair Campbell did a wonderful program tearing it apart as a peace plan.
Our Soul Brothers.
But I mean, I think strategically, Hamas hopefully will accept it to put Netanyahu on the wrong foot by not accepting a Palestinian state, which everyone is now calling for. Not that it's the right solution, but
Well, they've taken these people off the boats, but as far as we know, they're not interning them, they're just deporting them. Greta Thunberg included.
yeah, I think that has yet to hit home, the effect of that. I mean,
It's just gesture politics, isn't it, on both sides? I mean, obviously, it would be nice if some of these poor people got fed, but that's not on
well,
anybody's minds particularly.
it's a very good gesture. I mean, to sail across the ocean and try and break the embargo, I mean, is getting the sympathy. And it's interesting that the Me Mexico and Argentina are all up in arms about the treatment of their particular boat people.
Yeah, indeed. Mexico, briefly Trump's ally, through a very wily lady president there, if I remember rightly. But this,
Yeah,
she
exactly.
still gives her the right to have a point about the way the deportation's working.
So gradually, the international community is finding a way to overcome America's dominance,
Would you
and
go? Yeah.
the internet dominance. I mean, I think people are realizing the catastrophe of misinformation, that the internet has just amplified lying and misinformation. And it's a very serious thing.
Truth Social and other outlets are available. Mel, you were away when Trump was here, and several other people sought to flee the country, or at least the capital, for a couple of days. Do you think there's a ripple effect there? And as we've seen him frail and Hegseth struggling, I think, in his speech to the American journals the other day, was it over at West Point or somewhere? Are we looking at the Sunset Care Home potentially?
I mean, you can't win an argument with Trump, because to win an argument means that the other person is going to be consistent in where they are at the moment. And Trump's great. I think probably the single most salient point of both Trump presidencies has been this lack of consistency, the lack that he will say one thing one day and then something else the next, and the rate at which he changes his mind. And the relationship with Musk is an example, how Elon Musk of being one of the greatest human beings
Torturous
of all
romance, as I would call it. Yeah.
to being one of the most dreadful people on earth. And
Bad
so,
where's the pride? Yeah.
I mean, I do think Starmer has done well with Trump, in that he's sucked up to him in the right way. He's sent him the,
That's a
given him the
graphic
impression.
picture for the start of the morning. Anyway, yes, yeah.
Yeah, see, and he, and it seems to have paid off. The tariff rates against British companies, although not where we'd like them to be on steel, but they're certainly better than, for example, we would have got if we'd been part of the European Union. So our distance from the EU has certainly been beneficial to the economy to that extent. But at the end of the day, you can take two stances towards Trump and Farage. You can stand on the sidelines, accusing them of racism, and accusing them of, which is going on
Condemning
against Trump
yourself
at the
to the
moment,
sidelines, you will say. Yeah.
Or not
Right.
accusing them of racism.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah, not accusing them of racism would be better, significantly better. But at
Yeah.
the moment in the States, there is another thing going around the moment of accusing Trump of being racist. And when has it ever worked? When did accusing that Hitler of being a racist ever stop the Nazi regime from gaining popularity in Germany? When will even
No.
associating racism with another party, even if you manage to find a way, and I have to say, the fact that Starmer got a big cheer from Labour Party delegates at a Labour Party conference is not of itself evidence of a very clever and successful policy stance, particularly when those delegates have
You
been
see, it's a
told,
show of unity, isn't it, for the 6 o'clock
and
news?
it's particularly the case when there's being public questions about the leadership of someone in those circumstances. And I know because where I it was involved in the Tory
My
party
chair's louder
leadership.
than yours.
The instruction comes round. This is when you do the standing ovation. This is when you do the cheers. This is
Hold up
when
a
you do.
sign.
Yeah, indeed. And they can be talking absolute bilge. It doesn't matter. The key thing is to show, make a massive
Well, yes.
public display of unity for the media. And Graham would then say that people are fooled by the media into thinking that this is a party which is at ease with itself. And this was a great speech. Because
Not at
people
all, not at
perceive.
all. No, I'm being misrepresented there, Malcolm.
Well, your general view
I
is
wouldn't
that
say
people.
I've said that I heard it myself, okay, and had the same effect on me as it had on the audience.
And
So it wasn't,
as a piece of
wasn't.
writing, as a piece of
Yes.
delivery, that's often the case with all sorts of things, isn't it?
As a
But
piece of
it,
oratory,
but it,
as a piece of oratory, it got across, okay?
Yeah.
And
Well,
I,
okay. Which is something to be
it's not
celebrated
about
in
being
language.
misinformed. It's nothing to do about being misinformed. It's about being informed. Exactly.
It's so
Well,
really
what's
we're
the
measuring the
point?
short term and the long term impacts and the effectiveness of the delivery at the moment, all of which are equally valuable, I guess,
We know the
or
success of this
valuable.
speech. The success of this speech was 6 out of 7 council seats won by Reform within the week. Reform percentage of vote going up and Labour's going down. That's been the success of the speech. And that's undeniable. Those are simple.
That
Whatever
was totally
person went.
unaffected by the speech, obviously. It was totally
Okay, so
unaffected by the speech, wasn't it?
the
You
very
can't say
best.
affected by the speech. I know
Yesterday,
that. I've
I
seen lately that they lost.
yes.
My,
Richard Baldling,
they didn't
our
hear the speech, right? They didn't hear
yes.
the
Well,
speech. They
I
just
listened to it. I mean,
listened
in
to
its own
the
terms, I
speech.
said
Well,
right at the
it's
start.
political weather among cats. So, Richard Baldling, our guard cat at the day job, after some horrendous traffic in Bromley yesterday, was baring his teeth and he was going after a fox, which he often does. End of the day, he sidled up to me and bid me a fond good evening. So, even the feline vote here, I think, may be quite significant. And a bellwether. Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. Have a great weekend.
Right.
Cheers.
Thanks. Have a
Cheers,
good
Mark.
weekend. Bye.